Some days when I get on the computer and I check my Facebook, it's really easy for me to feel overwhelmed. Goodness gracious.
Three airport police officers dragging an unidentified 69-year-old man from his seat and down the aisle.
Oh my God.
San Bernardino is in mourning tonight after a deadly elementary school shooting. Here is the very latest at 10 o'clock.
President Trump taking major steps to strip down Obama-era regulations to combat climate change.
I guess I'm one of those people who, when I start to feel overwhelmed by the state of the world, my instinct is to freeze up and to scroll right past all of these articles and posts. But what would happen if I didn't scroll and I decided to do something? You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age. Today, we're going to continue our discussion about what activism looks like in the small ways. And we're going to explore this question. How do you not get overwhelmed when the world's problems feel so large? How do you leverage your tiny resources and take action? So I brought us some post-it notes, because what I'm thinking is I'll just have you kind of go through the series of events.
Okay.
Yeah.
January 28th. What happened that day? Is that the day the article came out? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Adam. He lives in Portland and is a local community organizer. But before we talk to him, we have to back up a bit.
I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America. We don't want them here.
When President Trump announced the executive order on travel in January, I was in front of my computer scrolling. And I remember coming across an article from our local paper on Facebook. The headline read, "Families, American Dreams Turn to Nightmare as Trump Order Traps Daughter in Iraq." Basically, the article was saying that an Iraqi man, Labid, had served the American Army, and he and his family had just arrived to the U.S., but their 20-year-old daughter, Bana, had not. She was still in Iraq waiting for a visa, but now couldn't be reunited with her family because of the travel ban. After I read this article, my energy level dropped. But then I clicked the back button and continued scrolling through Facebook. But Adam did something different.
Well, it started with outrage. I was outraged by the ban to begin with. And then this was a human story. This is how what it meant. It wasn't conceptual. It wasn't theoretical. It wasn't ideological. This was how it broke a family. And like, I identified as being a dad and trying to imagine. And I think this is probably what made me cry, too, is I just couldn't imagine being a dad and being like, your daughter can't come with you and you might not ever see her again. And I posted that to Facebook.
Posting to Facebook. At moments, that's also definitely been my outlet. See something, get outraged, post to Facebook, and move on. But after Adam posted this article, he received a few responses.
I said, get her to Boston over the next 6 days. I will help with air travel.
That's Brian. He's one of Adam's Facebook friends and is a retired lawyer. He had read Adam's post and the article and was basically saying, I'll pay for this woman's plane ticket if you can get her to the U.S.
Yeah, well, he just dropped this little comment, but there was no other follow-up. It was just this kind of, I'll put this here, see what happens. So I really had a moment with myself to be like, all right, what am I going to do? There's something to be done, obviously, or could be done. So do I just scroll or do I do something with it?
And I guess, you know, somewhere in my gut, I had a feeling that if I made that offer to him, that he would dive in, you know, with his whole being, which I think is pretty much what happened.
I just said, all right, here we go.
I should say by this time, the courts had put the travel ban on hold for 7 days. If Adam and Brian wanted to help, they had a small window. So Adam got right to work and reached out to his network.
I put up a new post and I said, update, can anybody help me connect with this family? There's somebody that's willing to help get Bana here if we can connect with them. And then started a new comment thread. People saying, oh, maybe this person, contact this person, that sort of thing. And then I just started sending friend requests and messages.
I was like, gosh, that's awesome. Like, that feels like something really concrete to do rather than just be angry about it.
This is Aaron, another one of Adam and Brian's Facebook friends.
I was like, you know what? I can help too.
Once Brian and Adam touched base with the family, they learned a few things. First of all, the family didn't have enough money to buy a ticket for their daughter, and they didn't know how to navigate the booking system, which overnight had become complicated for citizens of the seven countries included in the travel ban. So together, they all set one goal.
Get her to Logan, right?
Logan Airport in Boston. The first thing they had to do was book a ticket.
And when we looked to just book a ticket and just try it, there was these, you know, little asterisks or little things on the web sites that just didn't inspire confidence that it would work.
That said what? Like, may not be able to board.
Passengers from these countries, something. I don't even remember what it said, but it said to us, like, do not pass. That's not going to work out.
If I had run into an asterisk saying, I can't buy this plane ticket, I wonder if I would have shrugged my shoulders and thought, well, that's that.
So, like, how did you know what to do?
I never knew what to do as a whole. I was really in piece by piece.
When Adam and Brian hit this wall and didn't know what to do, they started tapping into all of their networks and trying to find someone who did know what to do.
I think I was a little bit of the travel expert. So since I've traveled quite a lot with a very difficult passport, I have a lot of experience in what can, cannot sort of be pushed through.
That's Aisha. She lives in Dubai. When Adam and Brian realized they couldn't just buy Bana a plane ticket, they connected with Aisha and quickly learned how complicated the system was.
Her brother worked for Emirates Airlines.
I asked my brother, is it possible to do something about it? He said, no, the system just won't accept it. So I told that to Adam, and then he was like, okay, so Emirates is out.
It was literally like we didn't know one step before another. It was one step at a time.
As they start talking to Aisha about multiple ticket avenues, they realize that the odds are against them. So they start considering other options as well.
We were thinking about whether she would get on a boat and try to come to the United States, whether we would try to get her to Canada and maybe the family would resettle in Canada instead of the US. We were kind of exploring the Canadian option. I was reaching out to friends who might know things about private aviation. So, you know, we're just kind of working the angles.
I just want to pause for a second and say that as I was listening to Brian talk about this, I would have thought that he was talking about a family member or a close friend, not a total stranger. And while he and his Facebook friends are making all of these phone calls and sending emails and going back and forth, Bana, this young woman, has been in Iraq alone with no idea the amount of attention she's receiving.
I think I asked maybe Sunday night or Monday, I asked Adam and Aaron, you know, when do we get the politicians involved?
It never occurred to me that I could go to my congresswoman's office with this kind of issue or that I had access to my politicians in the way that Adam and Brian are describing. But it works. The office of Congresswoman Shelley Pingree has connections with an airline and they say that they're able to book a ticket for Bana to the U.S.
So excited. I was in the grocery store when Brian finally, you know, emailed or texted, I can't remember, and said, we got her the ticket. And so we had this funny text chain where I was like, I'm crying at the grocery store. And Adam was like, I'm crying on the street in Portland.
They were able to buy a ticket for Bana to get to the U.S. But that is just half the battle. She still has to physically get here. That's up next. But first, a short break. Support for Millennial comes from Lyft. After a late night out dancing with friends, I'm usually tired and sweaty, and I don't feel like walking home. So I pull out my phone and catch a ride. With Lyft, it's easy to be driven somewhere, and it's easy to become a driver. As a driver, you can pick your own hours, work when you want, and you can work with a company that believes in treating its people better. How do they do that? Lyft offers in-app tipping, and 100% of the tips are yours. They also use Express Pay, where you can get paid almost instantly. You can earn hundreds of dollars a week plus tips. And if you want to make more money, you can drive more. You're the one in control of giving yourself a raise. For Lyft, it's a simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers. Join the ride-sharing app that believes in treating its people better. Go to lyft.com/millennial today, and you can get a $500 new driver bonus. Again, that's Lyft, LYFT.com/millennial. Limited time only, and terms apply. The next day, Bana leaves her house and heads to the airport.
The day that she was meant to travel, I had to talk to the check-in counter guy. He said that her name had been flagged in the system and he can't let her board.
Thousands of miles away, sitting in front of your computer, what would you do if something like this happened?
What was going through your head at that point?
Oh, it was a fragile moment of like, this isn't going to work. Like, shit, we can't even get her on the first plane.
So, you know, we're kind of going into crisis mode at that point.
But Aisha, the travel expert, is one step ahead of them. She's found a flight with a different airline that looks more promising. But they have to act fast.
So I called Brian and I told him, just book that.
And so I think she just started barking orders to me.
What I told him was, you should get a ticket from Baghdad to Doha to Istanbul, and that's it. Don't take it any further, because otherwise they will see that she's going to the U.S. and they won't let her board.
Basically, they need to get Bana out of Iraq with a stop off in Turkey. But it can't look like she's leaving Iraq permanently. And it definitely can't look like she's coming to the U.S.
Aisha calls me. She goes, did you buy the ticket? I said, yeah, I bought her the ticket. She's like, is it a round trip or a one way? I said, I booked her a one way. She's like, well, you need to, you know, get her a return flight. They're not going to let her into Turkey.
So instead of booking, having it appear that she was on a one way, they booked her a round trip. So it didn't raise the same flags in the system about her boarding a plane.
At last, they let her board.
I think at that point, we finally took a deep breath, you know.
Bana flies from Baghdad to Doha, Doha to Turkey, Turkey to Frankfurt, and then finally, Frankfurt to Boston.
And so we just waited, just like anybody else would wait, you know, for someone to come through the doors at the international terminal in Boston. And my daughter and I were waiting right at the railing right next to Bana's sisters. And then all of a sudden, she came out and they were like, that's her, that's her.
I was like surprised first. There was a lot of cameras. I was like, and it was like very emotional for me to see them and, you know, hug them. That was very, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, actually. It's very big, yeah.
Wait, were you surprised by that?
Yeah, yes, actually, because I was thinking that what makes people like do that for me. Yeah, nobody did that before for me.
It was also an emotional moment for Adam, who was the first person who posted the article on Facebook.
Why were you moved to tears?
Because I'd grown very attached to the outcome that she would arrive, that it meant a lot of things. It meant that she would be safe. She would be with her family. She could pursue her hopes and dreams. There was all those levels happening. I think it was a moment of a faith in the country that, yeah, we're going to be okay. The justice system worked that whole week. We as citizens worked that whole week. Congressional office of Shelley Pingree worked that whole week. Like, so the things that should function and work well in democracy were working. So yeah, we're going to be all right.
It's very difficult maybe from where you are and in the U.S. right now with all the, you know, the negativity and the bad news to really think that this could be possible. But there's a lot of good that happens in the world as well. And that's why it can be so overwhelming, the darkness, the hatred and the fear. Because not enough people think that they can play a part in making good things happen.
There's a wide spectrum of news on Facebook. On one end, there's the outrage and the darkness. And on the other end, there's all of this feel-good stuff. Videos of
pandas and kids. When someone like Aisha gets on Facebook, it doesn't seem like she's swept up by either. It seems like she and everyone who was involved in Bana's journey are looking at their feeds with a sense of pragmatic optimism. It's a muscle you probably need when you're maneuvering the world to keep from sinking under the bad news or avoiding it altogether. A muscle that I'm still learning how to flex. Editing for this episode was provided by Devin Taylor. Justine Paradise provides production assistance. The voices you heard were Adam Burke, Aaron Cinelli, Brian Ng, Bana Alhamfi, and Aisha Syed. Before we give you scenes from our next episode of Millennial, a few announcements. Millennial is looking for a producer. If you know audio storytelling is something you want to do and you believe in making this show, apply. Go to millennialpodcast.org/jobs. The deadline is April 30th. To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter at @MillennialPDCST, Facebook or Instagram. If you would like to become a sponsor for the show, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Millennial is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX with support from the Knight Foundation. On the next episode of Millennial,
it's like I sort of woke up and felt like I'd been holding my breath underwater for months, and all of a sudden I was taking a breath of air.
When you move in with your partner, how do you maintain your sense of self? And how do you not get lost in your relationship? I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Radiotopia.